Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, October 5th. I'm Ray Graff. It's plumbing today on the show. Have you ever tried plumbing on your own? It's fun. How'd it work out for you? Well, if you don't know, a basin wrench from your basic garden variety ratcheting PVC cutter or auto feed drain gun, not to worry. We have experts here today. Oh, we have two experts. Amazingly, we have Ian Cowan and Josh Meldrum of Mr. Rooter Plumbing in the Hudson Valley, and they know they'll reset your wax ring for you. It's a fabulous idea. To join today's discussion, 800-348-2551. Plumbing today, 800-348-2551. Get out your plumbing tools, boys and girls, and sit back and relax. The infotainment's about to begin. Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's our plumbing show today, and we welcome back licensed master plumber Ian Cowan here today from Mr. Rooter Plumbing in the Hudson Valley, and also with us to answer your plumbing questions, a newcomer to the program, Josh Meldrum. And these guys specialize in everything from drain lines to well pumps. They're here to answer your questions. So if you have a question about plumbing, this would be... You don't call in the bird show if you have a plumbing question. You call in the plumbing show, and that's today. It's 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Or you can email the program, voxpop@wamc.org, the email address, voxpop@wamc.org. Ian Cowan, Josh Meldrum, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having us, Ray. We love it.
Good nice. Afternoon. Well, welcome back, Ian. Welcome to the show for the first time, Josh. And I understand you're a little nervous. Your wife's watching online at WAMC.org?
Potentially, yeah.
Really? So, I mean, I should tell you right now, we are on camera. You can see it online. So, no rude gestures. I know some of the plumbers
okay.
come in here. They got an attitude problem, frankly. They make a lot more money than the hosts. And so we try to keep it clean here. I got a 20-second delay or so in case you swear. 800-348-2551 is the number. Or email voxpop@wamc.org. We got an email in advance here from Bill. You ready? Bathroom sink connection. I have a bathroom sink that leaks. Under the sink, the drain is connected to the pipe with some kind of goop. Now dried and cracked. This is where it leaks. How should I fix this? What is that goop? And that's from Bill. All right, Mr. Smarty Pants, Josh Meldrum, what do you think?
Well, Bill, without actually seeing something, it'd be hard for us to determine what type of goop it is. But I would think it's potentially a silicone-based product, or maybe even it could be an example of grease leaking through the drain.
In a bathroom sink?
In the bathroom sink, yes.
So where's the grease? Are you cooking bacon
actually,
in there?
No, you actually produce more grease from hand soaps and detergents and toothpaste than you get from food waste.
You're kidding me.
I kid
grease
you not.
And toothpaste. This is not necessarily a good thing.
Take a look in your drain sometime, and you will be afraid.
I have looked in my drain. a terrible, terrible situation where I tried to snake our own bathroom drain, and... I was cut all over the place. It took like 3 days, and I finally had to call a plumber.
There you go. That's what you learned.
Yeah, you see. Oh, now that. Ian Cowan finally talks.
It could also
talks.
Be putty. Sometimes you'll get people that aren't real plumbers, and they put the drain pipes together, and they try to add putty and seal them up if they start to leak.
So it might have been a
botched fix.
That was fixed a long time ago?
Probably.
Okay. So,
he really should replace. It's probably the trap that he's talking about, and he should replace the trap.
And that's an easy fix.
Even if you're a plumber, there is a trick.
Oh, come on. I could have done that one myself.
So I you'd be surprised how many times we get called in and the wife says, can you fix this, please? My husband tried to do it and he can't. It's leaking.
Well.
There is a trick to doing a trap. And there's three nuts on a trap.
Right.
There's the one coming down from the sink.
Yep.
There's the one going out to the stack.
Yep.
And then there's the one in the center that
yep.
has the U-bend on it. Always tighten the center nut first.
Why?
Because they have to seal up. The two pipes have to seal together, the ends, and you can turn one and get it cockeyed if
yeah,
you tighten it.
Which
wrong,
I've done.
And the nut can't bring it down to make that seal.
Oh, genius. Well,
so always tighten the center nut first.
I'll tell you one thing.
I lost a lot of business, Ray.
I know that, in fact, that I didn't do everything properly because I had to actually cut one of the pipes to make it fit properly, even though it didn't need that when I first started. So I had one of those pipe cutters and and cut the pipe. And
I'm sure you did a good
job. You had spare parts after.
Yeah. Eventually, we called a plumber and he replaced the whole thing. But that's another story. The number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Apparently, our computer system not entirely working here. So I see some phones. Oh, okay, let's go to line two. Bill in High Falls, New York. Bill, you're on.
I am, thank you. It's that time of the year when people take their hoses off their outside faucets and find out they have a drip. So I'm wondering what's the easiest way to try to check to see what's causing the drip and how it can be repaired.
All right. You want me to take this one?
Yes.
Let's ask a plumber instead. Meldrum.
There is a good chance that on the inside of your house somewhere in your basement you have what's called an isolation valve.
Yeah.
And what that does is it actually shuts off the water supply to the outside fixture. That should isolate the drip. If you don't have a shutoff valve, then the actual hose bib outside might need to be replaced.
Also,
okay, so I have shut it off inside the house. I still have the drip, so it's actually going to be the inside that has the problem, not the faucet outside.
If you shut off the inside valve and it's still dripping outside, it's actually both valves aren't seating properly.
Oh, terrific.
Okay.
Well,
so it's replacement of a valve.
Is your outside, is the actual hose bib, is that, that's closed? You have that closed tight?
Yes.
Okay. So a couple of things. First of all, you want to open that. So you leave for the wintertime when you disconnect your hose, you shut off the isolation valve and open that valve. And the reason is if it's installed properly, there should be a pitch on that line so that all of the water leaks outside from the isolation valve to the actual hose bib. And then there's no water in there. If you leave it closed, that water can still freeze and it can expand and it can damage the valve. So, and then also if it's what we call a frost-free silcock, meaning that the stem actually goes back. It could go back 6 inches, 4 inches, 8 inches, 10 inches, 12 inches, even 14 inches. So when you turn it off, you are going to get a little drip out of there for a few minutes and then it should stop. So if the drip is continuous and you come back, you know, an hour later and it's still dripping, then you definitely have a problem. But that initial drip when you turn off that faucet is the water running out so that it doesn't freeze because it's called a frost-free valve.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, so it's either the inside valve or the outside one, depending on which one shuts off the drip.
Correct.
All right, Bill. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
Great. Thank you very much.
Which brings me to my question. I think last year I left the hoses connected to the outside faucets. Bad plan or good plan?
Bad plan.
Really? What happens?
Well, chances are water will get trapped in the hose.
Yeah.
And water under 32 degrees tends to freeze.
Yeah.
So you would...
It's bad for the hose, but not bad for the faucet?
Bad for everything. Probably split the hose and potentially... have a freeze occur inside the house that you may not even discover until after it thaws.
And you got lucky, Ray. We had a really mild winter.
So okay, so don't
do
that
do
again.
Because this year we're supposed to have one of the worst winters in a long time.
Says who? What are you, a meteorologist now?
Farmer's Almanac thing.
Ah, well, you know, we've had Jason Goff on here many times, and he's actually looked statistically at the Farmer's Almanac. And he's a little skeptical.
Okay.
But, I mean, he can't fix the plumbing. I mean, that's the other thing. So let's go back to the phones. Are you having fun, Meldrum?
Oh, this is a blast.
Great. Hello, Mrs. Meldrum. I hope you're watching online at WAMC.org. Ian's waving. Mark in Salem. Mark, you're on.
Hi. I have a little more of a heating question involving hydronics. I have a radiant heated floor in my wing, or I will have shortly. I'm still putting the tile down. And I'm heating it with 150 square feet of solar collectors, the hot water type, back to a tank of 132 gallons, which is what it calculates out. But I'm also thinking about adding a secondary heat source, which is, believe it or not, a manifold under the 18th century type bake oven, where you have a fire in it and the heat is in the floor. Now, that floor will get probably above the boiling point of the water, and that's too hot for radiant heat. Should I send it back to the main tank and mix it there, or should I try to bypass it when it goes through that manifold if it gets above, say, 150 or so?
That's a really good question. So I love questions like this. I love challenges. So
well, I'm engineering it. You know, so I'm still designing it.
Yeah, and I'm going to be honest with you. I've never had to deal with that problem, but we can kind of talk through it. So how would you bypass the system when it reaches that temperature?
Well, the only way I could do it would be with a control valve, and that would send the water back from the floor to the floor without passing through the manifold. But then that leaves
now you're in a sealed loop that's going to reach above boiling temperature. So you're going to have to have some kind of relief on there. So a relief valve
or expansion tank maybe too.
Well, I think now we're talking steam. So you'd have to treat it like you would a steam boiler, and I think you'd have to have some releases on there.
Otherwise, very dangerous, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So
well, I also play with steam, but
well, no, you could do a relief valve like the relief valves on a steam radiator for a house. I don't see why
if that has a mixture of antifreeze and water in it, then every time it blows off, it's going to lose some of that. Yep. And what's going to be made up is just going to be regular water.
Correct.
So I thought having an open expansion tank outside, the bake oven that is outdoors, so that when the water was pushed into that tank and relieved with a pressure relief, that when the temperature went back down, instead of losing all that mixture, it would run back into the system when it was shut off.
I'd be a little worried about explosion there, to be honest with you. It's not. So I'm just being honest. If you called me and asked me to install this, I would probably tell you no. Just for safety reasons and liability. I wouldn't want somebody to get hurt.
Do you have a lot of insurance, Mark?
Fortunately, the bake oven is on the outside of the house. It's an outdoor bake oven, and it's attached to the house. So if it did blow up, it would probably blow out the back.
I don't see any way to save your antifreeze there, because I think you need a relief on that just for safety.
A relief, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Hey, good luck. If you live, call us in a couple of months. Thank you for the call, Mark. We appreciate it very much. 800-348-2551. It is Vox Pop. It is plumbing today. And an odd twist to begin the program. We are joined today by Ian Cowan and Josh Meldrum. And your calls at 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Interactive Media Consulting, Saratoga Springs, New York, providing logo and print design, web development, and digital marketing throughout the capital region and beyond, marketing creative and business ideas since 1996, imediaconsult.com. Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, specializing in wine and craft spirits for more than 15 years, stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins, grapesandgrainswine.com. Union College Concert Series, presenting mezzo-soprano Magdalena Kozena, performing songs of Fauré, Strauss, and others after her New York Philharmonic debut, October 9th, 3 p.m., unioncollegeconcerts.org. Northeast Solar in Hatfield, Massachusetts, helping Pioneer Valley residents live more sustainably with solar power for home, business, or farm. Keep solar local, northeast-solar.com. And Capital Roots, working to help people in the Capital Region access healthy, affordable, and local food, grow, educate, provide. CapitalRoots.org for information on how to support.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here, the plumbing show with Ian Cowan and Josh Meldrum. At you at home, 800-348-2551. Or in the car, if your hand's free, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. Well, I got to tell you, newcomer Josh Meldrum, that was a new... We don't usually get calls like that, where a guy's building his own heating system with a manifold and... You don't expect many more of those. So this is testing you by fire here.
The next four questions are going to be the same.
Let's go to Alex in Amsterdam. Alex, you're on.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I'm removing my kitchen and replacing it in a different part of the house. And because of that, I have to move 8 foot of hot water baseboard, and I'm going to replace it with a couple toe kick heaters. The original lines are 3/4-inch lines, and the toe kick heaters are 1/2-inch lines. The question is, do I reduce that 3/4 line and then run them through the two heaters, 1/2-inch, and then hook back up? I also see that there's a special kind of tee called a scoop tee that you can use to have some of the water go through. What's the right way to do that?
The tee. It's called a Venturi tee, and that's what you need. And you have to bring it down to 1/2-inch because they don't make, as far as I know, they don't make toe kick heaters with 3/4. So you use a 3/4 by 1/2 Venturi tee, which is what you're calling a scoop tee. Same exact thing. So, yes, that's how it's piped in, and it's common.
What's a toe kick heater, just so I know?
The one that goes underneath your cabinets. So you open a space under your cabinet, usually under where the sink is,
yeah,
so that it blows heat out there. It has a coil and a fan, and the hot water runs through the coil, and then the fan blows across the coil and gives you heat on your toes.
Gotcha.
Josh, anything
else? So do I run those two in series or in parallel?
You'd want to run them in series, and you'd also want to try to space them throughout your kitchen so they're not right on top of each other.
Yeah, I have one facing one way and one facing the confined area, and the other one facing out in the big room.
So,
okay, great.
Hey, thanks a lot,
Alex. Venturi T, huh?
Venturi T.
Yes, sir.
All right, well, that was pretty good.
Venturi T's are used a lot in plumbing, Ray.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, they're the weed spray things you put on the end of your hose.
Yeah,
works on a Venturi. So you've got a smaller end. As the water goes across, it draws up water from the other spot. So it works on the same system.
Terrific. Now this says Alex in Amsterdam, but that was Alex. Who is this? Somebody on the line? Okay, this is
he called twice.
It's very confusing here. Came up. See, the computer is a little balky today. So if I'm off my game, it's not the meds today. It's actually the computer. Let's go to Sal in Lee, Mass. Sal, you're on.
Hey, thank you. Good afternoon, everybody.
Hi.
And thanks for taking my call. Listen, I have a bit of a problem. In my kitchen, in the drain, I have a musty smell. It seems to be coming up from the drain. I've checked the water. I've run the water. The water doesn't smell musty. It's when it goes into the drain, it seems to displace the gas or something where the water is coming in. Do you have any ideas what I can do for that?
Josh is from Mass. Want to help him out?
How old is your home?
About 23 years.
Okay, so what it actually sounds like is potentially you're losing your what's called your trap seal. And that's actually water that sits in the U-bend underneath your sink, and it prevents the gases that are in your sewer system from getting into your house. And that's probably what the musty smell is. It's possible that you're losing the venting process, which keeps the water at a proper atmospheric pressure inside your pipes. So when the momentum of the water, say you're dumping a gallon of water through or your dishwasher is discharging, you're not letting the water's momentum carry the trap seal out. It sounds like you might be losing your trap seal. So what I would try doing is maybe have your drain cleaned, snaked, to see if maybe some buildup in the pipe is preventing it from being vented properly.
All right. Would I remove the elbow under the sink and snake it from there?
Absolutely. And also, sometimes, believe it or not, it could just be something on your roof in the vent. So the pipe that sticks out, sometimes there's a bird's nest. If this was the winter time, we could say it's iced up. Sometimes something gets in there, but absolutely.
All right.
Okay. So it is the vent. It is a venting problem.
It could be a clogged drain. Could be a vent. Either way, it's something that, as Josh said, is creating the momentum of the water to go out. But if you think about like a straw, you put your finger, you put a straw in a glass of water, put your finger over the top, lift the straw out, the water stays in the straw. You move your finger, the water comes out. That's basically the way a vent works. So same thing. If there's something clogging your vent, then the water's not going to go out. But also, if there's a lot of sludge buildup or grease buildup in your drain line, which, as Josh said earlier, can come from soaps, detergents, all that kind of stuff, if that starts to build up, then the water's not getting the proper momentum, and it could actually cause it to suck the water out of the trap as it drains down. So it could be one of the other or both.
Well, thank you very much.
Oops. I'm a little fast on the trigger. Sorry, Sal. Your follow-up was cut off. So, Josh, you're from Massachusetts, huh?
I am, yes.
Red Sox fan?
Big Red Sox fan.
Okay, sorry, you have to leave. There's the door. 800-348-2551. See, Zach, the engineer, is a Yankee fan. Not happy with you right now.
I wouldn't be happy if I was a Yankee fan either.
Oh, that's a shot. I'm a Mets fan, so I'm agnostic. Susan in Granville. Susan, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I have this problem with my washing machine. My husband and I kind of get into disagreements with this all the time. He says it's because we're on a well and it's water pressure. But I know a lot of people on a well and they don't have this problem. So if the washing machine isn't hooked up and you just turn the hot and cold faucets on, the water's running perfectly fine. But when it's hooked up to the washer, it comes into the washer really, really slow, and it keeps messing up the washer. And we've checked the little, you know, there's these little screens that need to be cleaned once in a while. We do check those, and it's not that. I've had people come out to look at the washer, and there's nothing wrong with the washer, and it's just puzzling to me, like, why the water isn't flowing into the washer fine when the water pressure seems to be fine when it's not hooked up. Does that make sense?
Yes and no. No, it's the only part that doesn't make sense is you said you had an appliance repair person out there and they checked it. It has to be internal in the washing machine. If you're getting, you could use a pressure gauge. You can, you know, to see if what you're visually, you know, seeing is really registering. But it sounds like you've done that. You've checked the screens on the inlet hose, you know, connections. So I would say that there's definitely something that got past that or built up in there. It sounds internal in the appliance itself. Absolutely. So I hope that was your side. I don't know if that was your husband's argument or yours. But it's definitely the appliance.
Best 100%. Not to get involved in these domestic disputes,
no,
Ian.
I try not to.
All right. So, well, I guess I'll just have to have it checked again then. Okay.
Hey, sorry. Thanks, Susan. Thanks, we appreciate the call. And let's go over to line number 6 and John on the Mass Pike. John, you're on.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Got a question about going away for the winter in my house. If we have a bad winter and the power goes out and nobody's there, what do I do about my water? I have hot water heat, so I have a furnace and the hot water tanks attached to the furnace, and then I have the regular, you know, plumbing system. What's the best thing I can do for leaving the house for a month?
All right.
If you don't have anybody that you can trust to check on the house anytime it's dropping below 28, 27 degrees, you should winterize your home before you leave. Everything in your system is full of water, and if your heat goes out, you'd be amazed at how quickly the pipes will freeze. And once they freeze and they thaw, you get a tremendous amount of water damage. If you don't have someone that could check to make sure heat's... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So what does that mean, winterize my house?
Winterizing your house would mean shutting off your water main at its source, draining your hot and cold water lines, your water tank, your boiler system, everything. Draining all the water out of the system and blowing any residual water out with an air compressor to make sure there's no water built up anywhere.
You also have the option of putting antifreeze in your heating system and leaving the heating system going. But Josh is right. I would absolutely winterize everything, but a lot of people don't like to drain down their heating system. So you could just drain down the domestic and you could put antifreeze in the heating system.
Regular car antifreeze?
No, absolutely not.
No?
They make special antifreeze just for boilers.
And how do you get it out when you're ready to come back for the spring?
You can actually leave it in.
Really?
It doesn't hurt anything.
I'll be darned. Well, that's something.
It does lose its potency after a while, and you have to redo it.
All right, John,
is this something Is this something I could do, or is it something I should have a professional come in and do?
I could walk you through how to do it, but honestly, for the minimal cost and the peace of mind, I would have a professional, because like Josh said, you have to hook up a compressor to certain areas and make sure that any pipes that are below whatever the outlet source is are going to drain out, and you have to blow them out. And it really should be done. We do this 50 times a winter each, so you could do it yourself. You could probably look up online, but to get it done right, and whoever you have do it, if you use a licensed contractor, they'll be insured and you don't have to worry about anything. Give you peace of mind.
There you go, John. Hey, thanks for the call. So, I mean, if you wanted to drain your system, you could drain 60%, right? I mean, you just need room for the ice to expand?
No.
No?
No, because ice will expand sideways through the pipe more than it expands lengthwise.
Yeah.
When you see a burst pipe, more often than not, it's a split in the side than it is actual a fitting blown out off a long run.
Interesting. All right. Well, that's
just
good.
Like when you put a cup of frozen water in your freezer.
Well, I've never done that.
Well, try it sometime.
Why would I want to do that?
An ice cube tray. It doesn't go as much as it goes out.
All right. Ice cube tray. I can understand. Our guests today are Ian Cowan and Josh Meldrum. It is plumbing today on the program. 800-348-2551, the telephone number. And Mark is it Lake Luzerne? It says Clade Luzerne, but I assume it means Lake Luzerne. Yes. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I have another Silcock question, too, actually, because I have two of them. One of them, and it does have the interior shutoff valve, which I do I do it all the time because it leaks if you leave it on. And I know, or at least I think I know, with interior faucets, if they drip, you could replace like a little washer thing in there. Is that the problem maybe with my frostproof Silcock, that it needs a new washer?
Sure.
That's it.
Okay.
There's a longer stem. It's just like your faucet inside your house, but instead of having a stem that's an inch or 2 or 3 inches long, this is.
So maybe it's something that I could take apart and replace.
Yeah, absolutely. So you want to shut off the valve inside the house, and then you want to take off the handle, and then you want to pull the stem, which usually is there's a packing nut in there, so you loosen that up, and then you pull the stem out. And you match it up based on the brand, and you can either replace the stem or you could replace the washer and then you're good to go.
Well, hopefully the washer, I guess, just. Now, my other Silcock, because I have two, the other one, and I think I did the same thing, Ray, that you did. I left my hose on.
Yeah.
And it
froze. The smart people do that.
Yeah.
I love those people.
Well, the thing still works, and it doesn't freeze in the winter, and it doesn't drip when it's off. But when it's on, these frostproof Silcocks seem to have a little top cap, behind the handle, and it leaks there when I'm using it. When I have a hose attached, it drips from underneath that cap.
Yeah, I get that.
That's your vacuum breaker.
Vacuum breaker?
Yep. The reason that's there is in the event that you have your hose in, say, a puddle with fertilizer or anything, really, and negative pressure is drawn on the inside of the house, water can't be sucked through the hose back into your potable water system.
Oh, interesting.
So you're not going to be able to suck a ground puddle through the hose and into the house and potentially out your faucet.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
That's its function. If it's leaking, it potentially has some sediment built up in there. Maybe you have hard water. I don't know if you're on a well or city water, but sediments can build up in there.
It could have froze also.
It could have froze.
I think it was a freezing problem I left the hose attached.
Yeah, so you can take that so that there's a cap on top. And most of them, some of them screw on, but most of them just clip. So you can pull it straight up, and then there's a threaded piece that you unscrew, and then there's a little plastic piece with a little rubber washer on it that needs to be replaced or straightened out. It could have just been cockeyed because of the ice. So you take that apart,
so that can be fixed too.
Absolutely,
that can be fixed too. Maybe. Okay, great.
Hey, Mark, thanks for the call. How's the weather in Lake Luzerne today?
Oh, it's beautiful. You should come up.
You're lucky. I'm all right, jealous. Man. Thanks for the call. Let's go over to David in New Paltz. David, you're on.
Hi, Ray. Thanks for doing a good job there.
Thanks.
I have a question here. I have a Bodaris heater. I had it recently checked. I do have the antifreeze in the lines to the house for the heating. But what the mechanic put down was that there's a backflow preventer needs to be addressed. Leaking water. It's leaking water. Valve for the feeder system is off. And he said I could still run the system, but I have to watch the pressure. But I only use the hot water part of it to this is for a guest house. So I only use the hot the system to heat hot water, and I turn on the baseboard when it gets to be like zero outside. So I'm not using it to any large extent. Is there any what's your advice on that?
Don't all jump at once.
So could be a couple of things. So did you physically see the backflow prevention device leaking? Or is this something?
Yes. This is the mechanic. He tried it. It leaks. It's physically leaking.
Where does it? Well, this is what I need to know. Where does it leak from?
It leaks from the...
In the center of the valve on the bottom?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So when you turn the heat on, when the feed valve is off, because he said he turned that off, I heard that part of it. So when you run the system now, does it still leak?
Yes.
Okay.
So, no. Now it's off. He turned the water that goes to the backflow
I got you. Nope.
Off.
I got you. So it doesn't leak now. So
now it's not leaking.
Okay, because that's a safety relief valve that's leaking. So when the temperature or the pressure gets too high, it actually blows off. So that's why I was asking you. So
this is what he said was the backflow of the system going to the water system to the house.
Nope, I know exactly what it is. So there's two reasons for that to leak. Okay.
Yes.
One is you could have a bad fill valve and it could be putting too much pressure into the system. So you may also have to replace your fill valve. So there's a little valve that has a it's either going to be red and it has a little lever on it that can go up, or sometimes they'll say watts on them and they have a little a lever on the top that, you can add more pressure to your system. And it's possible that there's too much pressure getting in the system, or it's possible that just that backflow prevention device is bad. So just be aware that when you do change it, you may have to change the fill valve as well, or maybe instead of. It may not even be the backflow prevention device. It may be doing its job. It's just building too much pressure. So he's correct. You need to watch the pressure. If it goes too low, you need to manually open that valve and add more water to your system, because you never want to run a boiler without water in it. It'll crack, and you'll have big problems. So I would say just replace the valve, sir.
David, thank you very much for the call. It is Vox Pop on WAMC Plumbing with Josh Meldrum and Ian Cowan of Mr. Rooter Plumbing in the Hudson Valley. Ray Graff here. You there. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be right back for the home stretch.
Support for WMC comes from the Department of Theater Arts at SUNY New Paltz. Presents Belfast Blues, Geraldine Hughes' one-woman show about war-torn Belfast, directed by Carol Kane, October 14th and 15th. newpaltz.edu. Schenectady County Historical Society in Schenectady's Historic Stockade District, presenting Vote Here, Vote Now series, featuring exhibition, speakers, concert, presidential trivia night, and more, schenectadyhistorical.org. Pelham Auto Service, at the Amherst-Belchertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig. A worker-owned and operated service repairing foreign cars since 1972. PelhamAuto.com. Vermont Coffee Company, offering slow-roasted organic coffee in the brown paper bag at local grocery stores. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends. And TJ's Taylor Rental and Party Plus, owners Jim and Tamara Falcone, providing tool and equipment rentals, tents, bounce houses, water slides, and party supplies for events. TJ'sTaylorRental.com.
T-Bone Walker for you here on Vox Pop. The number is 800-348-2551. And over to Gene in Schenectady. Gene, you're on.
Hi. I would like to know I've been living with well water all my life, and I have only been able to receive very low pressure showers. We're constructing a new home. I'd like to plan how to receive a higher pressure shower. Discussing with the plumber, I was suggesting would 1-inch piping increase the water pressure, but his response was that the water flow is being restricted by how the fittings at the end of the faucets are now being made to be water conserving water. How would you provide better pressure for sufficient showering? If you were in a community where you get water pressure from like a city or something.
You wrote that down, I think, because that was a great and well-posed question, Gene. Good job.
Absolutely. So are you still going to be on well water?
Yes.
Okay.
If you're on well water, your pressure is completely dependent on whatever type of pump you have. No?
We're going to disagree.
Okay.
On this.
Okay. This is good. I like this.
So a couple of things. First of all, the size of the pipe does not determine your pressure.
That's volume of your water.
Volume, correct. So there's going to be two things there. So your plumber is right that that's not going to increase your pressure. The pump, however, has, unless it's a booster pump, has zero to do with the pressure in the system. That just fills your tank. So unless you're on a constant pressure system. So what happens is the pump pumps up and it pumps into your system, and then the water stays in there in what your holding tank or your reservoir, which is usually nowadays a blue tank or a gray tank, and it has a bladder in it. So there's air in the top, and then it fills with water, pushes against this bladder. And then as you open a faucet, it relieves some of this pressure, and the air pressure pushes the water out into the system. So they do make, if it were me and I was on a well, the only way I would ever live in a house with a well is with a constant pressure system. So you put in, now it would come
now
to
the
pump.
Get to the pumps.
So now you put in a pump that's a variable speed motor that ramps up and down as you need pressure, and you have a different type of control box. And then you can set your pressure at 60 pounds, 65 pounds, and you open one faucet, the pump kicks on, gives you 60 pounds. Then if you open a second faucet, it ramps up to continue to give you 60 pounds. Sorry, Josh. We don't always agree.
Very good. And what would be the pressure that you would keep it at?
Personally?
Yeah. He likes fire hoses.
So I like really good showers. And the other thing that he mentioned is correct. They do put what's called flow restrictors in all of today's faucets. I didn't tell you this, but they can come out. So I think I said this on one of the shows before, and Ray yelled at me.
Yeah,
I sometimes, if I went to a hotel, I might take the pressure reducing device out of the shower head. I've heard people do that.
You know
that.
This is a radio show, right? The plumbing police are listening.
I've heard people do that. So you have that option as well. But I would definitely put on a constant pressure system. And most pressure on city water is set at about 55 or 60 pounds. If you go above 70, you now run into problems with blowing seals in faucets. So I would never set that constant pressure above 65 or so.
I appreciate that information. Thank you.
Hey, Gene, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. All right, you're going to be in trouble, Cowan. Let's go to Stephanie in Albany. Stephanie, you're on.
Hi. I was wondering if the gentleman could recommend a replacement system for an electric hot water heater. It's a 40-pound tank, and it uses a lot of electricity. We only have one bathroom and one kitchen running off this hot water tank, and it's broken, and we'd like to put something else in, and I didn't know if the gentleman might recommend it on demand, or we could bring the gas line from the other part of the house. It's an apartment attached to a main house.
If you have gas in your house, I would absolutely say get rid of an electric water heater.
I agree.
There are several options that you can go with. You mentioned on demand, and they're fantastic, especially for lower demands such as yours, like one bathroom, one kitchen. As long as you have three or less bathrooms, you can't go better than a good on demand water heater.
And how much? Well, we can't talk about prices on the air, but I'm interested in those on demands as well.
They're fantastic.
Yeah.
You want to turn your hot water on and run it for 4 hours and still have hot water? You turn your hot water on and run it for 4 hours and you still have hot water.
Well, we don't want anyone to do that.
I agree with Josh 100%, but there's also another option I want to throw at you if that's not for you. because I don't know how involved it would be to move the gas line, hybrid, all that kind of stuff. They make a hybrid electric that you could use, which is good, not as good as the on-demand, but a huge energy savings. It's called a hybrid electric.
Why is it a hybrid?
It has a heat pump on it, so it reserves electricity and it you know, keeps the water hotter. But also, if you have a boiler in the home, you can also use an indirect storage tank as well. So you have a lot of options. I would have somebody who's licensed in your area come out, and I would ask them about a storage tank. If you have baseboard heat or radiators, you can go with a separate storage tank on there called an indirect. You can go with a hybrid electric, or you can go with a gas regular water heater or a gas on-demand water heater. And I would say the on-demand is the number one option.
It's certainly the most energy efficient.
All right, Stephanie, does that help you in any way?
It does. Do either of the gentlemen do work in Slingerlands? Am I allowed to ask that?
We don't really do business here, but you guys are not in Slingerlands yet, though, right?
No, sorry.
Eventually, though, Steph. Well, thank you, Stephanie. We appreciate that. Patrick in, Patrick is on the Mass Pike. Where are you on the Mass Pike, Patrick?
Right near Blandford.
All right. Your hands free? You sound, your audio quality is excellent.
Yes, I am.
All right. You're on with the plumbers.
All right, I have a brand new house just constructed. We just put new appliances in, and the dishwasher, after a few days of loading it, we always rinse everything off, seems to get a smell, and we're wondering if it's bad installation or just the way the stainless steel tub dishwashers are. Just looking for some answers.
I don't want to say one way or another that it could be bad installation, but if the drain hose isn't connected properly, going up with a loop, I'm making hand gestures.
No, that's okay. It's radio. Yeah, your wife is watching.
You generally want the discharge from a washing machine to go up and then down into the drain before it ties in. So
yes, it does.
It does do that.
Under the sink, it does go up towards the sink itself. And then back down.
Then I would almost
read that. No,
I would almost wonder if maybe the smell is actually in your trap and it's just traveling its way back through into your dishwasher. You say it's a new constructed house?
Yeah, a new constructed house just last May.
Okay. There could be food particles getting stuck in there that you may have missed.
Hmm. Well, Ian, you don't seem to be saying much. You want to help him out?
Well, no, I think Josh is doing a good job. This is a tough question because without actually seeing the install and seeing the unit, again, this could be a venting thing, just like last time. That's the only way the gases could get through the trap, because if the pipe goes up and down, there's a trap there. And then it ties into a kitchen sink drain line, which then goes through a trap. So it's really tough unless they've piped them so close together that's forming what we call an S-trap, which would cause it to suck the air out of it, or suck the water, the trap seal out, the water out. So if it's piped without looking at it, you don't know that, but it could be forming what we call an S-trap.
But if it's new construction, you got to assume that they followed code and don't have that issue.
Well, I would say absolutely not true.
All right.
I would also say that the plumbers in Massachusetts really have these big egos. So whoever did it.
There's a reason for that.
Okay. So I don't know. But no, without seeing it, unfortunately, there's not a lot we can tell you.
Well,
Patrick,
thanks for the call. We appreciate it very much. Hope that was of some help, limited help. Roy in Kingston. Roy, you're on.
Hey, thanks. I want to run a new line from my pump house, which is not quite 50 feet uphill from the house. And I've always had issues with the deepest winter freezes, if I don't let the water run, the line will freeze up, and that's that big hassle to unfreeze it. So I'm wondering, is there more modern materials out there besides the standard black tubing that I have now and I've used before to run from the pump house? Because, I mean, I can use the low voltage tape, but it's a fairly long distance, and I don't know. I'm wondering, is there a better insulation method or something that improves the old technology of just running that black tube through your PVC?
Depth. Really, you want a water line to be buried below the frost line to keep it from freezing.
Yeah, and that's the ideal situation. But on the hill, there are times when...
It's tough, it's right? We not, get it. So you've got
to. And
got,
the actually entry to the house where it comes in the house is really not that low enough. So I have a. It's a problem so, situation. That's why so, I'm looking for, you know, out of the box solutions.
So the only other option that you have that I have done before and I know of with customers in your similar situation is the heat tape that you talked about. And what we did there in that situation is we ran two lines. We wrapped it, we put heat tape on, then we wrapped it in insulation, and I put two rolls of heat tape on each pipe, two separate heat tape lines, and insulated, and we pulled two lines to save the customer money because eventually that heat tape's going to go bad. So now you have heat tape for the first line, second roll of heat tape for the first line. Then you can switch lines, and you have first heat tape and second heat tape.
So you're not even using the second line?
Not even using it. And then just run that for future use because eventually the heat tape's going to go bad and you're going to freeze unless you put it below the frost line.
All right, one quick other question regarding the line. What's your opinion? I've heard different opinions from professional plumbers, you know, in terms of a passive filter, sediment filter. I have one now that I've put in before the well mate, and people told me, no, you're not supposed to do that. It makes sense to me to put a sediment filter in before the well mate and perhaps like one of those charcoal filters after the well mate.
Here's the problem.
I know it affects pressure.
Well, it not only affects pressure, but it affects the pump because you have what's called a pressure switch, which is going to be on your well mate tank, and that's not building pressure. It's telling your pump to run, and you've stopped the pressure, you've slowed the pressure, so that pressure switch thinks that there's not enough pressure and it's going to continue to run your pump and it can't get through. So nothing ever goes before that check valve. So whoever told you to do that was absolutely wrong.
All right, let's go to Dick in Longmeadow. Dick, you're on.
Yes, I just wanted to answer the question that the lady had about low pressure with her washing machine.
Yeah.
That when she used the unhooked it from the washer, she had normal pressure. And then when she hooked it up to the washer, she didn't. 9 out of 10 times, it's the mixing valve. Because both those mixing valves have coils. And sometimes those coils, they get old, they don't open up and close up all the way. And it's a very easy fix because the mixing valve is high up. You just pull a washer back and unscrew the hoses, take the hose, and just change the valve. And that's a low voltage valve.
Okay.
And so it's kind of just a very easy fix, and I just wanted to pass that along.
Thank you. Most plumbers don't work on appliances, so I learned something today.
Hey,
thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot for that. Let's go to Anna in Woodstock real quick here. Anna, you're on.
Yes, thank you. We have a septic odor also. Our problem is a little different than your earlier call. We used to have the odor coming into the house as well as outdoors, especially on a cold day. Now, and we had some work done indoors regarding our washing machine. We had to have a trap work done. But the trap wasn't correct once the washing machine was moved. Now the odor is there on a cold day only, and it's only on the outside of the house. The indoor problem is no longer there. So what is it that we're really looking at here? Somebody said we should have a smoke test. What is that?
What's a smoke test?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Boys?
Yep. Well, a smoke test is you basically fill your drainage system with smoke and you try to see if smoke gets out anywhere, so you're finding a leak.
Uh-huh.
But if you're getting
the
smell outside...
Okay.
If you're getting the smell outside, I would be concerned about your actual septic tank itself. Do you know when the last time you had it pumped was?
Only about maybe a year ago, 2 years ago. It could maybe less than that.
Is it a septic tank or a sludge pit, like a cesspool?
Could you speak louder because I have you on a cell phone.
Okay.
I was asking if it's a septic tank with a leaching field or if it's a cesspit.
It goes to a leaching field.
Okay.
Okay.
When you had the tank pumped, was the lid of the tank in good condition?
Yes.
Yes?
Okay.
Yes.
I think we're on the same page, Josh. I would have the septic system inspected. We're just trying to, I know we're running out of time here, right? So
that's the most likely.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Anna,
thanks
a lot for that. This one came in via email from Mary, who writes, recently the news reported that a lot of well water in Massachusetts has something in it that corrodes pipes. How would we determine whether our well water is corrosive, and if it is, how would we treat it? And that is from Mary.
Well, I guess since I'm the guy from Massachusetts,
you
asked me that question. Where I'm from, we are mostly on city water, but in some of the more rural areas of Massachusetts, they are on wells. The best thing to do would be have a water test done, and you can have them, you check the pH, you check for sediments, and you can actually design a system that can balance almost anything that's in there.
Okay.
Mostly it's a low pH, Ray, that causes corrosion in the pipe, which is acidic water.
Right.
And that's treated with calcite. It's a very simple treatment. It's usually one piece of equipment. However, when you put that piece of equipment in, it actually raises the hardness level of your water. So you usually need
to have a softener
in
then?
In conjunction with a softener after that. So it's two pieces of equipment.
This piece of gear that changes the pH from an acid to more neutral goes right off the well before it gets in the house?
It's done in the house.
Oh, it is. So it goes through the pump.
If you have a softener, it's going to be right next to your softener. It actually goes before the softener. So you would come in, you have your well tank, then you would have your acid neutralizer, then you would have your softener, and then it would go into your system.
That doesn't really solve the problem of the pipes between the well and the...
Can't do anything about them, and those are usually plastic poly pipes, so you're okay. So the only thing it doesn't treat is the piping on the well tank, and there's nothing we can do about that, unfortunately.
Well, this was fun. Ian Cowan, thanks again for being here. Josh Meldrum, good job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And what's your website? By the way, last time I asked you the website, you had no idea.
I did.
Oh, you know now.
Now I have it. Reading it from my text from Fawn Barlow.
Fair enough.
So she doesn't yell at me. It's MrRooter.com/the Hudson Valley.
All right, man. Great job. Appreciate you guys being here
today. Thank you for having
us. Great job, Josh.
Support comes from Chester Common Table, new restaurant on Main Street, Chester, Massachusetts. Locally sourced comfort food, beers and spirits, outdoor seating, live music, weekends, comfortable setting. ChesterCommonTable.com. The Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences in the Capital District and beyond. Skidmore.edu/Tang. Alexander House Luxury Residence Suites, Saratoga Springs, a historic mansion featuring 14 studio and 1 or 2 bedroom suites for weekly, monthly, and annual leasing. AlexanderHouseSuites.com. And Preservation League of New York State offering EPIP, a revolving loan program to acquire, stabilize, and restore historic buildings in New York so our past has a future. Thanks again to Ian and Josh for being here. Thanks to Zach Malloy for handling the controls. Your phones were answered by Leslie Sikora. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, we welcome back world-famous astronomer Bob Berman. He's a big star in astronomy. See what I did there? That's hilarious. Stand by for news!